Sharon, would you stand, please? No. Would you turn around, please? This young lady I've been sitting beside is my wife, Sharon. She's a director of women's ministries here. But we've had over 40 years together. And you can sit down now, thank you. Well, that was embarrassing for her. But, you know, Sharon and I have been in the ministry over 40 years together, and it's put us up close and personal with the hurts and heartaches of really hundreds and thousands of people. And our hearts have not been hardened to the burdens or hurts of others, their brokenness. And in fact, we've grown more understanding, I think, and more compassionate. We've ministered to people in all kinds of situations. We've talked with married women who have unplanned pregnancies. We've counseled unwed mothers. We've helped unwed mothers find a place to stay and have their babies. We've helped unwed mothers find adoptive parents. We've helped couples who want to adopt get in touch with pregnant women who need to give up their children. We've had adopting parents stay in our home while they're waiting for the baby to be born that they're going to adopt. We've helped with the tearful exchange of that baby from the birth mother to the adoptive parents. It's a very precious thing to be involved in. It's a very precious gift. I don't think there's a greater gift, hardly, that a human can give other than their life or a baby. Business Library reports that there are 36 couples waiting to adopt for every one couple that gets to adopt here in America. In the United States alone, I'm talking about, there are approximately 2 million infertile couples waiting to adopt. But unfortunately, many, many of the women who are pregnant, rather than giving their child up for adoption, are having the baby aborted. Almost one out of four pregnancies, 22%, are aborted. Amazingly, the most dangerous place in America today is not the inner city where gangs are mercilessly killing others for power, or battlefields where soldiers face the possibility of death every day, or federal buildings where terrorists and fanatics can plant explosives, or large cities where earthquakes can occur. No, the most dangerous place in America today is the womb of a mother who does not want to be inconvenienced by a little child. According to the Alan Guttmacher Institute, which was a research arm of Planned Parenthood, over 93% of the children aborted are killed for reasons of inconvenience. At the most, 4% are aborted because of concern for preservation of the life of the mother, 3% because of the expectation of abnormalities in the baby, and less than 0.5% because of incest or rape. Babies are being killed because the mothers don't want the child to interfere with their lives, or they don't want the expense of raising a child, or they don't want the responsibility or the hassle or trouble of raising a child. That which should be the most precious, the most safe sanctuary in the world, the womb of a mother, has become the number one place where innocent lives are mercilessly slaughtered. Planned Parenthood is the industry leader in the abortion business. They have over 30 executives that make over $200,000 a year. Clear back in 2012, and that's the latest statistic. I did a lot of research on statistics this last week, but anyhow, 2012 is the latest statistic I could get. Planned Parenthood received over $54 million in taxpayer funds Don't be misled by the fake news that a lot of this money is being used for prenatal care. Over 92% of Planned Parenthood's pregnancy services were abortions. 78 of Planned Parenthood clinics are in black neighborhoods. Blacks make up 50% of the population in America, but 35% of the abortions in America. Pastor Clenard Childress, a black pastor who is very concerned about what's going on, says that approximately 52% of all African American pregnancies end in abortion. 52%. Abortion disproportionately affects black and Hispanic women. They make up about a quarter of all pregnancies, but over a half of all abortions. It has been 44 years since the Supreme Court legalized abortion in 1973. And according to the Guttmacher Institute, the total number of babies aborted in America from January of 1973 to January of 2017 is over 60 million babies. That's over 3,700 babies aborted every single day. You know, we're horrified that 3,000 Americans lost their lives on 9/11 with a terrorist attack, but we're unmoved that every day 3,700 babies are slaughtered in the womb or outside of the womb. Just to put this into perspective, all of the American combat-related deaths in the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, World War I, World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, Desert Storm, and the War on Terror combined add up to less than the 1,377,000 American abortions every single year. Don't miss this. In one year, Americans destroy more American lives through abortion than all the American soldiers killed in the 200-plus year history of our nation. 50% of women now seeking abortion have had at least one previous abortion. Approximately one-third of American women have had an abortion by age 45. Now we know that within the first 3 months that the baby's mouth and nose and lips and eyelids and body and hands and feet and arms are all developing and every organ is in place and the baby is kicking and swimming and the heart is beating its own blood. More and more babies are being born. Many of them, as you know, are killed with a saline-type solution where they're just basically, the body is burned to death in the womb, or they're cut up and then pulled out, or they're brought out, they're allowed the head to come out the birth canal, and then they're jabbed in the back of the neck with scissors and killed and then brought the rest of the way out. But more and more babies are born alive and just left to die. It's really infanticide. It's called induced labor abortion, and what they do is they just induce the labor, and the baby's born, and then they just leave it. They leave it to die. In Illinois, for example, they are issued a birth certificate and a death certificate by law. Our president opposed Born Alive Protection Act 3 times, along with others. The tragedy is that those who are being aborted can neither defend themselves in a court of law nor defend themselves from a horrible death. The tragedy is also that it's happening in a country that was founded on the belief that all people are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with the right to life. Liberty in the pursuit of happiness. They're supposed to have the right to life. It's an inalienable right given by their Creator. And we're taking it away from 3,700 babies every day. 1,377,000 babies every year. How were over 60 million babies in America robbed of their right to life? In The Brothers Karamazov, the Russian novelist Dostoevsky noted that if God does not exist, then everything is lawful. Then that's exactly what's happened. There's been a revolution in our thinking, primarily because of the whole-scale acceptance of the false concept of evolution. A revolution in thinking based on Darwin's theory of evolution left man without belief in God and without respect for man because man is simply a chance. Dr. Norman Geisler, renowned Christian apologist, notes that Hitler killed 12 million innocent human beings and justified his slaughter on the basis of evolution. I want to share a few quotes with you that I think are shocking. Nobel Prize-winning professor Jay Watson recommended that in order to avoid birth defects, no child should be declared alive until 3 days after birth. Peter Singer, animal rights activist, social philosopher, professor of bioethics at Princeton, insists that the life of a newborn baby is of less value than the life of a pig, a dog, or a chimpanzee. He went on to say that his conclusions apply to the newborn baby as much as to the fetus. In fact, he promotes the killing of a disabled newborn up to 28 days after birth. Are you aware that we have professors, supposedly respected professors at respected universities, who are suggesting that infanticide is a good thing? What does the Bible say about abortions and the value of life? I want to share five truths. Not every year, but several years, I've taken sanctity of human life, taken the opportunity to highlight what the Scripture teaches, and I want to do that again. First of all, God considers human life special and valuable because it bears His image. We are created in the image of God. Only human life is made in the image of God. Human life is far more valuable than the life of a pig or a dog or a chimpanzee. Far more valuable. Man is created in the image of God. Second, God commands that human life be preserved and protected. In Genesis 9:6, we read that human life is to be protected. And in fact, if someone takes a human life, then they will face dire consequences, because whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. Third, God personally oversees the development of each child in the womb. In Psalm 22, 9 and 10, we read a little bit about this. And according to author Chuck Swindoll, David is seeing himself within the womb and coming forth from it as being answerable to God who created him and developed him during the 9 months he was in the womb. This is Psalm 22 and verse 9. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth, from my mother's womb. You have been my God. So God is working in knitting the person together. And we read in Psalm 51 and verse 5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And according to Old Testament scholar Bruce Waltke, in tracing his spiritual condition to the time of conception, David goes on to note that his fetal state In his fetal state, the moral law of God was in him. And then Psalm 139, a great psalm about creation and the development of life. In Psalm 139, 13 to 16. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the womb. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. And so this passage indicates the intimate relationship of God and the baby being knit together in the womb. It's tender, it's intimate, it's his creative presence at work in the development of the baby in the womb. He says, you formed my inward parts, you knit me together in my mother's womb. So God considers life special and valuable because it bears his image. God commands that human life be preserved and protected. Number three, God personally oversees development of each child in the womb. And number four, God's word indicates that life begins at conception. Now, some people say that there's not life until they're born. Of course, a lot of people are saying, well, even when they're born, you can still kill them up to 3 days, up to 28 days or whatever. And it's happening in America today. But Matthew 1:18, this is a passage that is often read at Christmas time, but there's two words in here that may be missed. According to Matthew 1:18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother, Mary, was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Notice, Mary is pregnant. The scripture says she was found to be with child. It does not say she is found to be with forming mass or with growing matter or with fetal tissue. It says she was with child. Turn on up to Luke chapter 1, verses 41 to 44. And here in this passage, we see, and it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Now, there's several things that are very significant here in this. Mary is simply pregnant. And yet, the scripture and Elizabeth are calling her a mother. She's a mother, but she hasn't had a baby yet. Well, she does have a baby. It's still in her womb. The baby also, you note in this passage, the baby leaped in her womb. The baby is called a baby and it's still in the womb. It's not fetal tissue. It's not growing matter. It's not a mass. It's a baby. We have here references to pregnant women as mothers and unborn babies as persons. And these babies are still in the womb of their mother. Life, according to Scripture, clearly begins at conception. Before a congressional hearing in April of 1981, the noted geneticist, Jaime Gordon, testified, it is an established fact that all life, including human life, begins at the moment of conception. And now number five, the fifth truth. God considers abortion a crime against life, the life of the unborn child. In Exodus 21, 22, and 23, we read these words. If men fight and hurt a woman with child so that she gives birth prematurely, yet no lasting harm follows, she and the baby live, he shall be punished accordingly as the woman's husband imposes upon him, and he shall pay as the judge determines. But if lasting harm follows, either she or the baby dies, then he will give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. Interesting that this passage, which is often quoted about life for life and eye for eye, and is about both the mother and the baby in her womb. The life for life penalty for killing an unborn leaves no doubt that God considers the life of the unborn to begin at conception, and of equal value to those who have already been born. Life is precious to God. The life of an infant in the womb is precious to God. The life of a little baby is precious to God. The life of a little child is precious to God. The life of a teenager is precious to God. The life of an adult is precious to God. The life of a senior adult is precious to God. Your life is precious to God. Those are truths that we know from Scripture. I want to share three reminders for those who may have been involved in an abortion. With the statistics being 1 out of 3 women, it's possible some here have had one. The first reminder is that God is a tender and compassionate God. I want to remind you that God knows your background, your struggles, your makeup, your strengths, your weaknesses, your hurts, your heartaches, your regrets. He knows your every tear. You may hide this from others, but you cannot hide it from God. Others may not seem to care how deeply you're hurting, but God cares, and God cares deeply. In 1 Peter 5:7, it says, cast all your care upon him because he cares for you. God is a tender and compassionate God. Second, God is a loving God. I want to remind you that God loves you. You heard me right. I don't care what you've done. God loves you. You may break his heart, but you cannot stop his love. According to Romans 8:39, nothing can separate a believer from the love of Christ. You may break his heart, but you cannot stop his love. God loves you. Thirdly, I want to remind you that God is a forgiving God. You can confess any wrongdoing, and you can be forgiven for what you have done, and you can be fully restored to a position of wholeness and intimacy and fellowship with God. You cannot undo what has been done, but you can get right with God. You can be forgiven, your conscience can be cleared, and your heart can be healed. There may be emotional scars and physical scars that linger, but they cannot separate you from the love of God. I love the words of Corrie Ten Boom, who said, there is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. He's a forgiving God. Now I want to close with 7 challenges. Number one, pray fervently. Pray for our country. Pray for our president-elect, his cabinet, our senators, our congressmen, our representatives, our judges. Pray. Pray for young men and women. Pray for young men and women to keep their lives pure. Pray for older men and women to keep their lives pure. Pray for those who are pregnant. Pray for those who cannot get pregnant. Pray for those who long to adopt a child. J. Sidlow Baxter said, men may spurn our appeals, reject our message, oppose our arguments, despise our persons, but they are helpless against our prayers. I love that. Pray and pray fervently. Second, get informed. Get informed. Don't stick your head in the sand. Find out what's happening. Alan Guttmacher Institute has all kinds of historical and statistical data about abortion. Right to Life has all kinds of information about abortion. I was online on the web and checking out both Alan Guttmacher Institute and National Right to Life and other sites this past week. And medical authorities determine a person to be alive if there's either a detectable heartbeat or brainwave activity. Unborn children have a detectable heartbeat at 2.5 weeks after conception, and a detectable brainwave activity 5.5 weeks after conception. Most abortions are performed after the 7th week. Almost all of them. Get informed about how abortions take place, how it impacts the baby, how it impacts the mommy. Abortion isn't a neat and tidy harmless procedure in most cases. Abortion is a bloody slaughter of life. Dismembering the baby's body, or cutting the baby into pieces, or starving the baby, or poisoning the baby, or jamming scissors in the back of their head, or sucking out the baby's brains, or bringing the baby out alive and then killing it. Thirdly, get involved. Support life is precious. Support life in your conversations. Don't be afraid to take a stand for life. Don't be afraid to take a stand in support of abortion, of adoption, I mean. Ask God if He wants you to maybe give some time or energy or to organizations that are pro-life, such as Right to Life or Crisis Pregnancy Centers, Homes for Unwed Mothers, Birthright. Their efforts are commendable. Their goals are desirable. Their need for help is undeniable. So maybe He does, maybe He doesn't. Maybe He has other areas for you to be involved, but you can still support it with your conversation and your heart. Fourth, speak out. Our television and news media is tragically biased towards abortion and the killing of the unborn. And when people take a stand for life, they're crucified. They're put down. They're mocked. We need to speak up. We need to write letters to television sponsors or to newspaper editor or to our representatives or senators or to judges. We need to get the truth out. And we need to be ready to give an answer. And when I say speak out, we need to be ready to give an answer. When someone says it's a woman's right to have an abortion, our answer is no one has the right to kill another person. Genesis 9:6. When they say a fetus is just a blob of tissue, our answer is no, it's a tiny human with heart pumping blood and brain working. When they say a baby is better killed and aborted than born and abused, we say no, a baby is better given his life and adopted. Over 2 million adoptees waiting to love and nurture a baby. Number five, I'm going to add an extra one here. Number five, vote for pro-life candidates. God is not Democrat or Republican or Libertarian. God is holy and just and true. As a church, we don't take a stand on political issues. But as a church, we must take a stand on biblical issues and moral issues. And God declares marriage to be a sacred relationship between one man and one woman. And so we need to do all we can to defend marriage as a one man, one woman relationship. And God declares life to be valuable and precious and made in His image. And God is pro-life, so we should be pro-life. Number six, recognize the seriousness of this issue. The Bible says, "Woe to those who call evil good, and who call good evil." This is happening in America today. It's happening in our media. It's happening in Hollywood. It's happening in our government. A writer in the New York Times said, women who abort deserve medals for bravery. End of quote. The Colorado Senate issued a tribute to a Boulder abortion clinic abortionist for his years of personal sacrifice and courage. That's calling evil good. The battle is for truth and the battle is for lives. By God's word is truth and lives are precious. We need to be strong and courageous and by God's grace do what He would have us do. And finally, number seven, promote adoption. Promoting adoption is a way of promoting life. 1,377,000 babies aborted every year. 2 million infertile couples waiting to adopt. Don't end an unwanted pregnancy with abortion. End it with life by keeping the baby or giving it up for adoption. Adoption is a loving option. Unfortunately, our government has made it much easier to abort than to adopt. Sharon and I admire those unwed mothers who are willing to carry their babies full term and then through tears release their baby into the hands of a loving, godly couple for adoption. That, my friends, takes personal sacrifice and courage. Those are the women who deserve a medal for bravery. Out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, making the sorrowing glad. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. Out of my life may Jesus shine. Make me a blessing, O Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today. Ladies and gentlemen, we can make a difference. We can pray. We can take a stand. We can speak up. We can promote life. We can promote adoption. Father, thank you. Thank you that you've made it crystal clear in your word that life is precious and valuable and created in your image. And that our founding fathers were absolutely right when they understood that every person is created with the unalienable right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We thank you for giving us life and the opportunity to make a difference. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.